Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 11. Just praying about what the Lord had me to preach tonight. And actually, I just really didn't have any clarity about what the Lord had me to preach until I was leaving the Jones residence after this afternoon and this evening, and spent some time speaking with Brother Brian him sharing his heart. I want to tell you, friend, you never know what other people are going through a lot of times until they tell you. And there's a lot of people tonight that's at a breaking point. You may not tell it by looking at them, may not be able to tell it by being around them. And there's no way that you can know the intimate details of their circumstances unless you're walking in their shoes. And amen. And though we may not know about each other far as what's going on and its effect on us, I'm glad to report tonight that Jesus Christ knows. We ought to draw consolation tonight just in that term, that He knows. He doesn't need information. He does not need an email or a text. He doesn't need any information. He has all of the information that He needs about you because He has all the information. If you get a hold of that, you might get help tonight. He knows all the information. He has all the information about me because He has all the information. Amen. So with that in mind, Jesus will never say, oops. He'll never say, oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think about that. I didn't plan on that. Oh, that surprised me. Oh, no. None of that will ever occur. None of that will ever happen. And so anyways, I was coming down the road. The Lord just troubling my heart about the situation and all that I heard and stuff. And these verses come on my heart pretty strong. And so I'm just going to look at them as the Lord will help me to do so. In chapter 11 of Matthew, these are very familiar scripture. In fact, several of you in here probably can even quote them. And RBT, you know that I've been dealing almost consecutively with our series of messages on the heart. But the Lord is interjecting something else for the service tonight. And I'm willing to obey Him. The Bible says in verse 28, coming from the very lips of the Son of God, He says in these words, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, or all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I actually quoted verse 30 to him as right before leaving, because when a person is at as low as they can go, they don't need to hear opinions. They need to hear, what does Jesus say? The Lord, even before He impressed my heart to look at this tonight, He impressed my heart to give that to Him and pray for Him standing there in the driveway. So I want us to look at this tonight as the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God and how many times it's been that which lifts us up. How many times the Word of God has been, Lord, sent as an arrow, Lord, into our heart and life, perfectly hitting the bullseye of our need. And Lord, I thank You tonight, Lord, that we are on Your side. I'm glad, Lord, that you are the one that's in control. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'll forgive us, Lord, for being distracted, getting our eyes off of you. Lord, getting our eyes on our emotions, letting emotions get on the throne of our heart, letting emotions get on, dear Father, in the driver's seat of our life instead of faith, instead of facts, instead of our Father, which is in heaven. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you will help us for a few minutes, dear Lord, to help, Lord, this people waiting to hear the word of God. Lord, to give us anointing and power tonight, Lord, to declare, thus saith the Lord. And I know, Father, that we all can say that we've read these verses, we've heard these verses preached, and we've, several of us, maybe even committed these verses to memory. But Lord, we're not reading out of a catalog tonight, but we're reading out of the inspired, infallible, life-given Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, I pray for a few minutes, God, that you'll give us help and anointing from the Word of God. Lord, that you'll strengthen us and stir us. Your will be done tonight, and what you do for us, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've pointed out before there are three words, and I'm not going to look at except but one of them. There are three words in this passage, verse 28, 29, and 30, that are key words in this passage. One is the word come. The second is the word take in verse 29. And the third is also in verse 29, and that is the word learn. Come, take, and learn. All three of those words are words of responsibility. All three of those words are words that you and I are not only responsible to do, but we can do. When God gives us responsibility, that means the door is open on His part, that we can step through. Amen. He's not just flippantly throwing out words of no meaning when He says, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Those are things that are possible, those things are personal, those things are a potential. But I'm interested in the service tonight in the word come, and I've preached on come before. I've dealt with it before at Lent in another message. But I just want to take those three words of come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. What's in that? And let me say this. Everybody in here tonight is going to need to do this. There's probably not going to be a day in your life that you're not going to need to come to Him. The days and the times that I have felt like I can't go on are days I didn't come to Him. Days that I felt like I was going under was days that I stayed out of the throne room of grace. Amen. I'm feeling something. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is telling us here how we can make it. He's telling us here how that He is our sufficiency. And so I just want to look at a few things that come to mind around the word come and what is going on in this verse, verse number 28. The first thing that stands out to my heart that blessed me is the word awareness. Awareness of the problem. When Jesus says, come unto me, He addresses the problem. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's identifying the problem. Now, if you'll read this, you'll find out the people never said a word about it. Jesus knew exactly without an exam and without an x-ray, amen, and without asking a question, what was wrong with them. He's aware of the problem. Sometimes I don't feel that way. Be honest about it tonight. Sometimes when you get down, you don't feel that way. How many of you have ever been like me and you felt like at times that you had to tell the Lord, hello, excuse me, I'm over here. I'm under this rock. I'm in this ditch. I'm in this circumstance. I'm in this situation, as if he did not know. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ will never be able to say to you about any of your situations, I didn't know that. Oh, there's times that I've had to tell people, I didn't know. I didn't know this was happening. I didn't know you were that low. Oh boy, y'all help me now. I'm feeling a witness. We're on track tonight. Amen. Hey, glory. I mean, I've had to tell people, I don't know. I didn't know. And then there's times after I did know, I still had to tell people, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is the author behind the words, I know. I know what you're thinking. I know your thoughts are far off. I know how you're feeling. I know what's your past. I know your present. I know your future. I see Miss Nikki sitting back there and her situation that did not become knowledge to her until it happened. Amen. And it was already going on in her body even before she even knew that what was going on. But he knew. But he knew. Oh my goodness. Oh, isn't that a blessing? Awareness of the problem. He knows my struggle. The songwriter had it right when he said, when he wrote the song, or who it may have been a she, I don't know, but they wrote the song, he knows all about my struggles. I'm glad he does tonight. Amen. I believe the Lord's trying to help us if we'll let him. So I see, first of all, there is an awareness of the problem. And then I see something else that blessed me, spoke to my heart out of this this statement. And I see, secondly, there is an advancement of his passion. Jesus Christ, if you'll notice the way it's written, he is taking the initiative. Those that are laboring and heavy laden, they're not making the first move. In fact, they're not making a move at all. Their heavy laden condition, they're laboring and exhausted and tired of dealing with it, condition has got them bogged down. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is taking the advancement, amen, in the direction of the needy. Do you know he specializes in that tonight? Amen. How many times have you deserved him to be walking in your direction, looking in your direction, speaking in your direction? Amen. The answer to that is never. Never. In fact, the truth is, most of the time when we get in that laboring and heavy laden condition, it's usually our strength that we're depending on. Oh, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ has, and he still does, take the advancement. He takes the initiative. He moved towards you first. I'm glad for 1 John 4, what is it, 4:19? We love him because he first loved us. I'm glad he took the initiative in our salvation. But it's not that I rejoice in that only, but I rejoice that many times in my Christian life, he's took the initiative to me. Amen. Amen. Oh, boy. So, amen. So I see secondly, the advancement of his passion. That is, he loves us. And his love is always in action. His love is always in motion. And he is moving in your direction tonight. It's not an accident. I never intended preaching this tonight. I never intended preaching this tonight. But I want to tell you, the Lord evidently did. And it wasn't an accident, as I was speaking to that individual earlier, that he was pouring his heart out about his condition and where he's at, and at the breaking point came out of his mouth. I'm at the point of breaking, and if one more thing happens, I don't think I can stand it. Are y'all listening? And still not knowing the Lord was going to lead me in this direction, I began to converse to him out of these verses. And we began to find strength out of these verses as we prayed there in the driveway. But there is the advancement. Jesus is making a move towards you right now. He knows your condition. He knows that. He doesn't have to have an x-ray, didn't have to have somebody examine you. He knows. Thirdly, I want us to look at this. Thirdly, I've seen something else that's a blessing to me, and that is there is the availability of the privilege. Come unto me. Don't get too happy about that, but that was uttered from the very lips of the Lord, and the Lord is saying with that word, come, I am available. And it is a privilege that is afforded you because you belong to me. Amen. And he's telling us here, amen, I'm available. I'm available. What good is it for us to have a Savior if we couldn't get to him? If he's out of reach? If he's on vacation or if he's busy? What good is that? But he's telling us that he is available and that he is approachable. Now, a lot of people in this world, people may look at as heroes or famous, big names. You know, they wouldn't, none of them let you into their presence. They don't even want you in their presence. They want you to support them, buying their junk and whatever. But they don't want you. When they have a birthday party, they don't invite you. They're not interested in little us. Amen. And you know, if something happens in your home or your life in a tragic form, they're not going to come if you call. They could care less. They're not going to shed a tear. They're not going to send a love offering. They don't care. You know why? All of those people that I am mentioning and describing, they are not available. They are not accessible to me. I can't go see them. I can't call them. And amen. But here's the biggest name that has ever come across the lips of a human being, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is saying to us tonight, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. I'm available and I am accessible. So there is the availability of the privilege. And then number four, and I really hit that this next one just then as well, that is, there is the accessibility of the person. The accessibility of the person. And by the way, talking about the availability of the privilege, you know what that means? Listen to this. God's invitation is God's permission. Amen. When God says, come unto me, that's permission granted. He's already letting us know that I'm expecting you to come. Amen. Oh, that's good. He advanced to us with his word. He made the initial step toward us with his word. When he said, come, that's his word. He's speaking. He's speaking. You and I are to respond to his word. His word is his invitation. His word is his authority. Amen. Well, I like that. He didn't say certain ones of you. He said all ye. All ye. That's all the big ye's and that's all the little ye's. Amen. That's all of the ye's that's got it together and that's all of the ye's that's fallen apart. All ye have access to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good. Number five, this right here blessed me as well, help me. And thou see in this word, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I see there is the authority of the promise. Jesus Christ is authorizing the promise. What is the promise? How many can see the promise there? He said, all ye that labor heavy laden, come unto me. He's talking, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will give you rest. Do you need rest tonight?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, buddy, being perplexed will wear you out.
Amen.
Trying to figure it out and trying to fight it and trying to fix it and trying to find it and all of those sorts of things in your life, try to figure it out. Those things are toilsome. Those things are taxing. Those things will wear you out. Amen. Boy, there's just something about being able to rest. You say, well, I could rest if the storm was over. I could rest if the sun would shine again. I could rest if the situation was different. No, no, that's human rest. Human rest has got to have the circumstances to be restful. But when you're talking about the Lord Jesus, He can give rest even though around you the storm is raging. Around you things may be falling apart. And there can be a peace in your valley. There can be a peace in your storm. Amen. Someone said that there was a classroom of kids was asked to let their imagination form a picture and attempt to draw it on paper of what their idea of peace was. And, of course, they come up with everything in the book. But one that really stood out that got the attention was that one of the little ones in the class wrote and drew the best she could, drew a little picture of a turbulent waterfall that was coming into the sea, and the sea was just tossed and to and fro with big gigantic waves, and it was had the sky was dark, and right beside the waterfall and above the stormy sea and below the dark clouds of the horizon was they had put a little bird that she drew, just a little bird on a nest inside of a rock, a little space in the rock. All around that bird was just turmoil and black and stormy and nothing settling. But there she sat on the nest, resting. Well, I'm glad tonight that Jesus Christ, thank God, authorizes the promise. And the promise is, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Amen. I thought that was good. Amen. And He authorizes it. Next, I want you to see something else. There's the abundance of the provision. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but whatever they're facing here in verse 28 that's causing the labor and causing the laden condition, that's causing the exhaustion, that's causing the burden down situation, whatever that is not giving. That's taking. And part of life is going to be given to that. There's going to be things in your daily lives that's going to be pulling on you and taking from you. It's going to be trying to take your strength. It's going to be trying to take your joy. It's going to be trying to take your drive, your desire, your smile, your joy, all of it. It's going to be trying to take. But I want you to notice, Jesus never used the word take. He uses the word give. He said, I will give you. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing tonight? That Jesus Christ is saying to us, I have something to give that you need. Now you think about it. Most of the things the world tries to give us, we don't need it. Most of the things the world tries to give us, not only we do not need, but if we have it, it's really a minus. It really takes from us. It takes our attention, takes our affection away from the Lord. A lot of things can be said there. But Jesus did not say take, He said give. He said, I will give you rest. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses me right there, that Jesus Christ is going to get personally involved in my situation. He didn't say, I will send it to you. He didn't say, Brother Tom, I'll send it to you. He said, I will give That is, I'm going to be the personally involved Savior. Can we get a hold of that tonight, Brother Frankie, that Jesus Christ is personally involved in our lives? Now, listen, I know we get up and we quote this all the time, that Jesus said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, and that is true. That is a biblical fact. That is a biblical promise. But do we act like that? Do we act like that he's always present? That when I'm in a valley, he's there. That when I'm in a battle, he's there. When I'm facing uncertainty, he's there. When I have questions but no answer, he's there. When I can't see 2 inches in front of my nose, he's there. Is it reality that we have an ever-present, involved Savior? When Paul was facing the situation with the thorn in the flesh, you remember that? It must not have been very comfortable. It must have been very uncomfortable. In fact, 3 times he asked the Lord to take it away from him. Amen. Take it away from him. Well, a lot of times we want it taken away, maybe what God had sent, what God's allowing, what is going to be for our benefit, what is going to be for our, that's going to be a positive. It may appear to be a negative, but it might be a positive. That thorn in the flesh actually was a positive in Paul's life. And when God said this right here, you never find Paul ever praying for that thorn to be removed again, ever. Here's what God said, and I'm basically summarizing some of it. I'm not going to take the thorn away. I know you asked me to take it away, and I know from your point of view you think that's the best choice. I know from your perspective you think that's really what needs to be done. I'm glad God don't answer all my prayers. If he answered all my prayers, because a lot of my prayers, come on now, I'm terrible looking, y'all don't do that, but I have. A lot of my prayers have been selfish. Lord, I want out of this. Lord, I want this fixed. I don't want this load. I don't want this burden. I don't want this valley. I don't want this pressure. I don't want this situation. And you know, a lot of times it's that which makes us. Amen. I don't know the details of it, but they tell me that a diamond is really nothing more than a piece of coal that was deep enough in the earth that, my friend, the pressure, the constant pressure on that piece of coal turned it into a diamond. Now, I don't know how true that is. I've never dug down deep enough to find a diamond. But you think about that. You might be just an old clump of coal. You might just be an old piece of coal. But God's going to let pressure get in your life and put pressure on you, constant pressure on you. And that pressure, you think, oh, Lord, you're killing me. And it might be the Lord said, no, I'm going to make something very valuable out of you. If you don't ever go through something, you probably will never be nothing for the Lord. Everybody that's ever been anybody for the Lord in the work of God in church history and in the Bible were people that went through things. And I believe that we have got the most tender Christianity today that has ever been. Listen, I'm talking about our forefathers. They didn't even bat an eye, some of them, to go and stand knowing that they're going to ignite a flame about them and burn them at the stake. They never hesitated to do so and did it with joy. Many of them accepted martyrdom and looked at it as a prize. Dr. J. Harold Smith, I don't know how many ever got to meet him in his life, but I've had the privilege to meet him several times and hear him preach several times. I've heard him preach in person, God's Three Deadlines, and I've heard him preach several times. And you know what? They said he's won, I forgot how many, supposedly even off the God's Three Deadlines, they put it in film form where they just filmed him preaching it. And they said they have documented over 1 million people that had wrote in that said they got saved watching that film. And he said he knows for a fact, documented, there's been over 1 million people profess to have gotten saved listening to him preach. He preached that message, no telling how many times. Every time he preached it, there'd be people getting saved. But I heard him tell this. He told about all of the things that God's let him do. And he was preaching on the 5 crowns. And he said, 4 of them I think I've got. He said, I think I'm going to have 4 crowns. But he said, the only one I don't have, but he said, I really do want it, is the martyr's crown. I thought, is that the voice of this generation? No, we're wanting out of everything. We don't want no disruption. We want everything comfortable. We want everything pleasing. We want everything pacifying. We don't want no problem. You know that's right. If we were choosing our circumstances, there would never be a storm. There wouldn't be no minuses. Everything would be pluses. Everything would be sunshine. There would be no winter time. There would be no hard times. There would be no disappointment. There would be no letdowns, and we wouldn't be nothing for the Lord. We wouldn't be worth nothing. Amen. May the Lord help us with that. But he's talking about here in our closing that there is an abundance of the provision. God says there's things that you're going to have that's available for you to have. Listen to me now, that you need to have, but that you won't have unless you come to me. He said, Brother Carroll, it's after you come to me, I will give you rest. See, we want him to give us the rest without us coming to him. Y'all see that? He's setting it up to where our dependence must be on him. Our dependence is upon him. Amen. Why would we not come to him? I want to ask you tonight. Why would we not want to come to him? Has he not proven himself tonight to be faithful? Has he not proven himself time and time and time again in your life and in mine to be everything and more than we need? Has he not proven that? Why would we hesitate? Why would we drag our feet about when we have a need that is absolutely wearing us out? Why would we not make haste and get to him? Come to him. When he says, come unto me, and as a result, I will give you rest. Heavy laden, laboring and heavy laden, what do they need? Rest. What did Jesus say? I'll give you rest. Here's the point. Jesus, what he offers matches what you need. Jesus never has give you nothing that you don't need. Amen. Oh my. He said, I'll give you rest. The world takes, but Jesus gives. Boy, there's a big difference right there. I'm glad of that. Amen. But he said, I wrote this down. What he gives matches the need in your life. They were weary and heavy laden, so they needed rest. If you'll come to him tonight, and you'll come to him, and like this. I just saw this, Brother Tom, just now. Jesus did not say to those laboring and heavy laden, now you rest up now, you get your strength back, and then you come to me. You know what he was saying? Just you are, as you are. The condition you're in, you say, preacher, I'm weak. That's you. You're qualified. He's talking to those that are wore out. He's talking to those that are weak. He's talking to those that have been laboring to the point of exhaustion. Those that are heavy laden, burdened down with life. Amen. He said, you don't even have to rest up. Just turn your focus toward me. How much energy does it take to just turn your focus toward him? Sometimes, come on now, y'all with me? Sometimes you're too tired to get up physically and make a journey to him. Sometimes the best I can do, Brother Aaron, is... Sometimes all I can do is just turn and look. But a look in the Bible gets a lot of help, amen. You remember those in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, that were bitten with the fiery serpents and were dying? And God said, here's the remedy. Told Moses to put a brazen serpent upon on the pole and said, lift it up and then tell everybody, look and live. If you'll look, you'll live. How much energy does it take on your part tonight to look? In fact, the same Bible says, look unto me. Here he says, come unto me. Isaiah 45:22, is it? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Amen. I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that may have been the very verse of scripture that was being preached the night that C.H. Spurgeon got saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You may be here tonight and wore out, beat up. You know where your help's going to be? Let me address first where it's not. Help is not going to be found staying where you are. Help is not going to be found in staying what you are. Help is going to be found when you recognize I'm laboring, I've labored, and I'm laden. And I need rest, I need help, and I know where my source is. I know the one that can help me. And by faith, I am making a move toward him. I tell you what the flesh will do. I tell you what the flesh will do. The flesh is a master at becoming weak and weary and worn out. The flesh will just get worse. When you get weak and weary and worn out and tired and beat up and laden and all of that, listen, you know what the flesh will do? It'll just contribute to making that worse. It'll just add extra weights on you. It'll just, amen, load you down that much more. Oh my goodness, not Jesus. Jesus never, ever, his direction of help is not going from worse to worse to worse to worse. Amen. His help tonight is bring your situation that's weak and worn out. Amen. And by the way, too, another thing I just saw there, a person that's already wore out and laden and all of that, you don't have much to offer. You know, sometimes God wants our help to come from just opening up our hands and says, Lord, I don't have no strength left. I don't have no ability left. I'm wore out. I'm on the bottom. I'm dragging my tracks out. But what little faith I have, I'm turning my faith toward you and I'm calling out to you to help me. Amen. Staying where you are is not going to be any help. In fact, what got you in that condition is going to continue to press you right on down. Your strength is going to continue to leave you. Weakness is going to prevail. And when weakness prevails, then you become easily whipped. It doesn't take much of anything to whip you when you become weak. Where's your focus at tonight? Amen. Now I look back over 37 years of preaching. And listen, I wouldn't want to go back through all those things, some of those things I've been through. I wouldn't want to go back through them for nothing, Brother Tom. No. But if it took all of that to develop me, I look back and say, Lord, thank you for it. I don't want to ever go through it again, but thank you for it. Amen. If it takes a trial to develop me, stabilize me, give me a foundation under me. Where every little thing that comes my way doesn't knock me off my feet, then Lord, thank you. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for a valley? Thank the Lord. There's a song I think about thanking the Lord for your valley. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for looking back and you see a situation and again, you might say like I did, I don't ever want to go through that again. But Lord, thank you for what you showed me. Thank you for what you taught me. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you instilled in me. Amen. Because listen, this thing's not going to get easier. And when I say this thing, I'm talking about our world's situation. I mean, America, at least on an economic note, is prospering right now. And I've talked to people that's invest, and their investments are just booming and prospering and everything is looking great. But I'm telling you, it's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be that way. You don't wait till a storm to prepare yourself for it. Even around here, people's got more sense than that. If they announce that it's going to snow, and they might do that in March around here, you never know. I never seen the beach. Somebody said on Facebook that this is Hawkins County or Tennessee is the only place they know that you can get a sunburn and a frostbite in the same week. That's about the truth, ain't it? So I don't know what, amen. But you're going to have to go through something, face something, deal with something. Listen, you don't have to, just bring your condition to the Lord. Help is going to be found when you come to the Lord as you are. And don't fake it. Don't try to cover it up. Lord, I'm this, that, no. Just come and say, Lord, I'm weary. He already knows it. He's waiting on honesty. He's waiting on humility. Lord, I'm weary. This valley, this situation is me living by sight and feelings and what I hear and suppose and think. These things are wearing me out spiritually. And I'm sick of it. Lord, I'm coming to you. You promised in this text that what you promised to give matches what I need. It doesn't just match what I need, but it's going to be the fix for what I need. I'm wore out, I'm tired, I'm laden and heavy laden, all that. What do I need? Rest. Well, when I get rest, the effects of all of that laboring and heavy laden is gone. What I get from the Lord, He gives to me as I am, but what I get from the Lord does away with some of that, those effects of what's around me, what's going on around me, what's happening to me. So I just wanted to preach tonight. Lord spoke to my heart. Just I'm talking about coming down the road before I went to sleep, amen. I did make it home though. Amen. But the Lord spoke to my heart coming down the road. Clear as a bell, I want you to preach out of this passage tonight. I said, Lord, but I'm not ready. I want you to preach out of this passage tonight. I said, amen, Lord. We'll start. You direct, you lead, and we'll just say what you put on our heart. Amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight, what you're facing, what you've been through. I don't know where you are spiritually. I try to stay focused on where I am spiritually, and that's a full-time job. But if you need to come to Him tonight, He's available. He's accessible. A classic illustration, I'll close with this. A classic illustration of coming, responding to the word come, and then receiving the very thing that you need is found in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 6, you know, God's given instruction about building the ark. Noah did that. Noah minded God, built the ark. Chapter 7, verse 1. Come thou. God talking to Moses. Come thou, We'll get it in a minute. Maybe I'm not fully awake, amen. Y'all didn't even catch that. I guarantee they wasn't half of you caught that I had Moses building the ark. I didn't catch it either. How many, be honest, you didn't catch it. Well, what about that? I didn't know that. That's why you need to bring your Bible. Preacher may not say everything just exactly right. See what it was? I took my glasses off and I couldn't see what I was saying. But God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. What was it that Noah needed? What did he need more than anything to be in that ark? God said, come. He didn't say, go. If he had said, go, that would have meant God was on the outside telling Noah to go inside. But when God says, Noah, come thou into the ark, that means that God was inside the ark. Amen? God was inside the ark. Amen? That's right. And so what Noah needed, more than anything, he found when he responded to that word, come. And guess what Noah found? This lines up with our text, Brother Tom. You know what Noah found when he entered into the ark? Rest. He rested. Everything around him, the whole world was under the judgment of God, destructive judgment of God. But inside the ark, responding to the word come, Noah found rest. He actually found by responding to the word come a detachment. All that was going on around him was detached from him. Because between him and the destruction outside was the ark, which is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you need tonight can be found in Christ. And this is a simple point. I pointed it out as I come through there. But I want to emphasize it before we give the invitation tonight. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." All you need and all you can find and all he wants to give, you will not have if you don't come to him. So we want to give you an opportunity to come to him by faith and talk to him. Pour your heart out. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry." Or, "Lord, this is my situation." Whatever it is, and just come and get some help tonight. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for the word "come" that's in the Bible, one of the most important, precious words, a word of invitation, inviting us. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'll use the simplicity, but yet the truths that we tried to share tonight. Lord, that you will use that to help someone. Lord, that these young people here will learn that this applies to them, not just to older folk. It applies to them. And that they need to learn as a young lady or a young man that they have privileges as a believer to the throne of grace, to be able to come to God and be able, Lord, to find help in the time of need. Lord, I thank you that that's true for young people. Lord, I thank you that that's true for middle-aged people and for adults, people of all ages. Lord, I thank you for that. I'm glad you did say, "All ye, all ye." I'm glad, Lord, you're a God that is inclusive. Not exclusive, but inclusive. I'm glad you include all of us. We have access to you, availability to you, Lord, and we can draw strength from you and rest from you. We don't have to continue. This passage tonight shows us that we do not have to continue in the condition that we're in, that there's rest that can be given, help can be had. Lord, I think that it would be very foolish tonight for you to give us, dear Lord, the remedy, just the simple truths of reminder of the remedy, and some make the choice. I'm going to stay in my situation. I'm going to stay in my condition. I'm going to leave the service tonight the same way I came. I'm not going to take advantage of the fact that God sent a message, that God is speaking to our hearts about what we need to do. He wants to help us, but he can't help us until we come to him. Use that, Lord, I pray. Lord, there's somebody here tonight, maybe more than one. They may be heavy laden as they have been laboring and heavy laden dealing with sin. Dealing with sin. Trying to find peace. Trying to find contentment. And it's wearing them out. It's wearing them down. Lord, help those that are in the building tonight, lost without God, to realize that they can come to the Savior tonight. Those, dear Father, that may be watching through live stream tonight that's struggling and they feel as though they may be at the breaking point and on the bottom. Lord, you're telling them, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden's light." Have your way, Lord, in the service, in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.